Masks have been on my mind. I don't know, maybe the last year and a half may have had something to do with that. But I started thinking about it. I mean, a lot of people masked. Some people didn't want to mask. But, you know, it's funny that that history kind of repeats itself, because mankind has this really strange ability to start things over and over again. But I think masking started at the very beginning. It started with Adam and Eve as they hid themselves with a covering, didn't they, in the Garden of Eden. You know, they tried to cover up their sin when they realized that they had sinned and that it was exposing their nakedness. They knew that they were exposed, so they tried to cover up. They wanted to cover up their sins with fig leaves. I think it was fortunate for them they didn't pick poison ivy leaves, especially where they put them, but I don't think there were poison ivy leaves in the Garden of Eden anyways. But but people are still trying to cover up their sins by masquerading, and even today, parading around, I mean, literally parading their sin around like it's something to celebrate, rather than even covering it up. You know, clever wordsmithing and deceitful narratives have been used in the world today to make sin sound good and to look good. You know, and if we oppose the sin, the opposition is viewed as ignorant or either even evil today, aren't they? Now, it's a narrative masquerade party is all it really is. And when God determines something is sin, you know, we can't change that. You know, who are we as the creation to tell the Creator what sin is and what sin isn't? But unfortunately, this world has tried to redefine that. But, you know, God in all his greatness and his wisdom and his experience, I mean, how can he be wrong? You know, we have a God that has no beginning. I mean, I don't know anybody that can explain that. If you know someone who can explain that, tell me. There's no beginning. And yet there's nothing at this end that was going to stop him either. I mean, our minds can't even fathom his greatness. And, you know, we're not even newborns. I mean, we aren't even at that point of conception and time of experience that God has had in his life. I mean, to even dwell on that a little bit just kind of gives us the greatness of our Creator God. Just those, I mean, we put it in years, but you can't even say it. It's just impossible. It's just infinite on both ends. It's not years. So then if that doesn't click in our heads, okay, and some people, that might not click, we need to see results. Look at the results of things. So if people don't believe in a God and they can't believe that sin is sin, look at the results of people's actions. All these people claim to have science. They say, look at the science. Well, really, are you looking at the science? Look at the science of sin. Are they looking at the results of sin in the world today? I don't think they are. They really don't. They don't have the mind to do that. They don't have the will to do that within them. But in every case, the result is ugly, and it hurts people, and it hurts the people around you. Now, God's people can't allow themselves to fall prey to this narrative. I really feel I really feel for the generations that are coming up now, because I know the pressure is on these young kids like it never has been before. I know there's nothing new under the sun. However, the only thing I see is new is the pressure getting more on the kids. But we're also warned that. So I think that pressure is getting tougher on the kids. But let's not fall prey to these intellectual arguments of the day. We've been forewarned of the clever arguments. So let's start off today in Genesis chapter 3, and we'll go to verses 1 through 7. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." That was a flat-out lie. "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. So also she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. You know, humans continue to make coverings today to hide their sins. You know, and Satan emanates those same thoughts today, but in more cunning and deceitful ways. But we as God's people, we need to stop eating of that deadly tree. You know, Satan uses the tools of the internet. He uses schools. He uses the workplace and media rather than coming directly like he did to Adam and Eve. But he's become more clever and deceitful in his ways. But we know the story, and Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. So as God's people, we need to make sure that we don't get banished from the garden, in a sense. So we want to make sure that we don't fall prey to Satan and his deceit. So we want to make sure that we aren't banished from the kingdom of God someday. So our choices are truly important as God's called out today. You know, we've been given a unique opportunity to change the courses of our lives. Have you ever thought about it that way? We have that unique opportunity to change the course of our entire lives. You know, we can take that tree of life that was provided through Jesus Christ as a part of his salvation as our choice. And we can draw on the help that he's given us through his Holy Spirit and to make the right choices. God will help us through that. And we can see through that mask that Satan the devil wears and the world wears as well. So let's take a quick look at one of Satan's masks. Turn to 2 Corinthians 11:13. 2 Corinthians 11:13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself to an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." There's a lot of masks in this scripture, isn't there? There's false apostles or deceitful workers of Satan. You know, Satan veils himself to make himself an angel of light. And he's the prince of darkness. He mixes good with evil as a clever disguise, and the world can't tell the difference. They're not looking hard enough. You know, this world believes him because he's a clever actor. He's a good actor, and he appeals to their senses. He's appealing to those senses. They don't have God's spirit to discern that, so he appeals to the senses like he did to Adam and Eve in the garden. And the world just doesn't recognize it right now. You know, God's people can't afford to compromise with sin, and that's what this world is offering us today, is that compromise. That's what they want us to do, is to start to compromise that. They want us to put the pressure on and have God's people to compromise these things and to become accepting of sin. You know, we're fighting against the efforts of a relentless and intolerant culture and an intolerant enemy as well. Here's the hard part for God's people. It's to distinguish the sin from the sinner. You know, we're to love the sinner despite the sin and never embrace the sin, which is really what this world's pushing. They're actually demanding it right now. And a lot of countries, they've actually tried to bake those things into their laws. They want you so accepting that you embrace the sin. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. The world truly is changing drastically. It's attacking Christians, and unless we're fully accepting of some of those ways, the error of their ways, we will suffer some persecution, I believe, in the future. But they won't stop until we embrace the sin. It's all done under the guise of tolerance and a level playing field for everybody. You know, when our courts turned a blind eye to the destruction and the looting, to the recent riots that we saw, and they showed a preference towards the rioters and not these poor people who lost their livelihood and their homes, and the preference was towards the looters. You know, we know that our country has gone awry when that's happened. When you start to see things like that, we know there's no justice in America anymore. Again, I say, look at the results. Look at the results. Unmask the sin and you'll begin to see. You know, the world's still trying to cover up their sins just like with fig leaves, but they're trying everything in their power to excuse it away. Now, God has this to say, despite what you and I might think, or what any other human being might think. You know, compared to God, we have the scarecrow for brains. You know, if people would only take a moment and just unmask the lie. And we can make the comparison. If they stop to look around and look at the creation to see what God's done, stop and look around. I think Satan has made us so busy that people don't even stop and start to look at things, the great creation of God and the vast universe. I mean, look at the things he's made for us, the wonderful foods and the beauty and the oceans and the trees and the mountains. I mean, that just did not come about. You know, part of the masking is unmasking the symptoms today in society. You know, we mask symptoms. We do it with bailouts. We do it with opulent welfare programs. I mean, some people come here from other countries and they can't believe it. I mean, they get phones, they get cars, they get, you know, how can people appreciate what they have when people are given everything? They don't. God made us to be workers. We need to earn that. And he gave us that sense of that feeling of accomplishment by doing those things, not by getting handouts. You'll never get that by just taking handouts your entire life. You know, help is fine, but welfare is not a lifestyle. It doesn't let the people be and become and accomplish the things that God made them to be and to be those great people that they can be someday. I don't know if you've seen some of the commercials on TV. We try to mask diseases, don't we, too? And I'm not against medication for sure. I mean, there's a lot of good medications if it's taken in the right way and it's the right thing at the time for you. And those are all personal decisions. However, I'm taken back by how some of these are advertised. So, you know, we mask the diseases from sexual promiscuity. You see a couple running off on a motorcycle and same-sex people holding hands and kissing. But you know what? You have HIV, you have viral warts, you have herpes. Just take this pill. Everything will be all right. Just pop this pill and you're going to be okay. And I can tell you right now they're not monogamous. And you know how I know that? Because they're spreading diseases and they have to take the pill. So you know that that they're not getting the point. They're not getting the point. So we try to mask what God is saying. You know what? Sin hurts. So yeah, mankind has brought it down a notch. And they don't feel it. Kind of like no poison ivy leaves in the Garden of Eden, I guess. But, you know, I think they would make the point. But here you can live on and still live this way and kind of maintain. But, you know, there's still damage that's done that they're not telling you. First of all, there's side effects from a lot of the medications. Kidney failure, liver disease, cancers. It's right on there. Then there's the psychological and the spiritual damage that you're doing to your life and to the people around you and society. There's emotional pain as well. You know, I tried to find the exact article that I remember reading years and years ago. It's been quite a while, probably the early 90s. But I read this thing about a woman's trust bank that women have, and I've seen things that were kind of similar where they have trust within them. So promiscuous women, every time that they are with a different partner, there's a certain amount of trust that is removed from this bank that I believe God has given a woman to have. And every time that they sleep with a different partner, there's a withdrawal from that bank that removes more trust from the woman. And I'm sure it's not every woman, but I will say that I do believe this to be true. So by the time they get married, some women can deplete that, and it's going to cause some damage with the partner that they have. You know, and the world tries to mask these things. Again, you know, monogamy is not touted in our world today. People have live many different hedonistic lifestyles. But by the time these women get married, that bank account is empty. And their spouse, their husband will pay the price for that, and they will too. You know, we've gotten to a point in our society and the world that sexual sins are in the open. There's nothing hidden anymore. They don't hide it behind a mask anymore. And the damage to children and adults alike are getting more and more apparent, aren't they? You know, some statistics show that suicide among non-heterosexual, and I'm not going to go through all the alphabet, youths is as high as 14 times greater than heterosexual youths. You know, our youths are looking for something. The suicide attempts is a call from these kids for help. They're looking for something better. You know, this is certainly a symptom of unhappiness. But then we have the great cover-up artist that inspires people with their psychobabble, our teachers in the colleges and in high schools, and they provide what I would call non-intellectual, they call them intellectual arguments of the day, but I'm going to call them non-intellectual arguments. They're not looking at the results. They're not seeing what they only give you part of the story. So, but we must connect the dots and look at the results as God's people. We have to see the results. All sin and every sin will lead to unhappiness eventually. You know, look at Adam and Eve. You know, the fruit looked good. I bet it even tasted good. You know, sin does feel good for a time. But the pain is often delayed and it's masked for a small period of time. Some sins have faster and more direct consequences than others. But the end game for sin is always hurt if it's unrepented. You know, the world's looking for something that you and I have, and we're blessed to see something that we've been called out to help offer this world. But rather than turn to God, the world turns to drugs, promiscuous sex. And these sins can become our gods if we let them. We can't let sin in our life, any sin, become our god. And the fact remains that no matter how much you mask it, through a party, a celebration, a parade, the results for breaking God's law will be hurt. You know, God warns us, and the only reason why he tells us not to sin is to protect you, to protect us. It's not to keep us from good things. It's not to keep us from fun things. It's just to protect us. It's given to us to have full and happy lives. It's not given to limit us. But our adversary knows well, and he can deceive, and he knows how to tantalize. He knows what we experience as fun for a time and what feels good for a short time. So let's face it, I mean, people wouldn't sin if it was painful, right? Maybe a small number of people, but they wouldn't sin if they really know. But in the end, it is going to be painful no matter what. And God gives us a lot of room to repent. But if we don't deal with our sins, Ezekiel 18:4 states, "The soul who sins shall die." Sin will suck the life out of you. In other words, the soul that sins will die. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And you'll notice, I will finish this one. I always love this because, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Because that's the positive side. God wants to give us eternal life. Now, mankind and masking has had a long, varied history, and some masks were created for function, but many times for hiding, for concealing identity, So let's take a good look at the history of Mass today. Let's start with this. This is my mask when I'm in the doghouse with Lisa. I can't hide behind it for long, so. I scare my dog with it too. I'm a bad owner. See that on there? Okay. Okay. So we can go there. So Adam and Eve were masking from the beginning. They used fig leaves. During COVID, we had a great time masking, didn't we? Great human interaction, wasn't it? So I don't think they were social distancing enough. But those are functional masks. We do have functional masks. So we have a new norm here. Mask up, hoard the toilet paper and the hand sanitizer. Hopefully these are all distant memories. But actors, they always wore the mask. It's a symbol for the actors. Mankind has used masks in rituals. This is one from Mexico. Here's an whole array of masks that they use in rituals in Africa. A lot of them represent spirit beings, which are the wrong spirit, of course. And during the Renaissance period, and we'll go into a little bit more about these masks, but they would mask up the elite of the day, would mask up, and we'll talk a little bit why they would do that. That's my favorite mask, so. Then we have some scary masks. These are obviously people who are on a tight budget. Oh, that's the scariest one of all. So, go ahead and turn the lights back on. So some of the oldest masks were actually found in Israel. They found, these were the oldest ones known, that at least so far, that I found on the internet. So we'll take that for what it's worth. But they were found in Israel, and they were stone face masks, and they're believed to be used in pagan rituals. Go figure. Probably in one of their ceremonies for Moloch or something at the time. Who knows? But they don't know what they were used for sure. But they certainly didn't look very nice. So. But those were some of the oldest masks that they ever found. And then in ancient Rome, they would mold a mask of the dead person's face, so when someone would die, and they would act out a part of their life, and they would go on stage and they would do an act for us. They would hire an actor to actually do that and act out something that they would want to remember about that person's life. In Africa, they wear a mask in some of the ceremonies. And they believe that when they wear the mask, and it's just of a spirit is what they believe, but then they lose their spirit and they take on the spirit of that dead person. So I believe that's the wrong spirit. So in Daniel 12:2, so let's see what happens to the dead there. So we can, and I'm sure we'll go into this in the Heaven and Hell booklet as well. Daniel 12:2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. So we know that the spirit of the dead person does not come back as God's people. It's the only spirit, I think it is the wrong spirit. You know, masks are used to conceal a person's identity oftentimes, and they're used in rituals, carnivals, and parties, and some masks were used for punishment to humiliate. And during medieval times, they would humiliate a person who committed a crime by wearing some hideous mask with maybe a long nose out to here, kind of like Pinocchio or something, and big ears. And they'd have to wear it for the duration of their punishment. And they weren't allowed to take that off. And these were used for what we'll call lesser crimes. But They used it, and I'm sorry, ladies, but this is one of the things that kind of struck me. But it did say when women would nag their husbands was one of the things on the list. It did say gossip and drunkenness in public and things like that. So, yeah, men gossip too and men nag too, so I won't discount that. But that was called the mask of shame. Masks have been used by actors in the performing arts and also for nefarious activities, right? I work for a bank. So, you know, robbers come in, and most recently they were used for trying to protect for the coronavirus and to contain a virus. But this mask of shame, it was usually used, like I said, in smaller crimes. Then the masks were used in the Renaissance period. And those are really popular among the wealthy and the elite of the day. Let's go back to that. What they liked to do was conceal their identity. It actually gave them what they felt was a kind of freedom. So during that time, they didn't have freedom of speech like we do in this country today. Even today. But if they said things against the crown or against their social circle, sometimes they were even put to death for that. So if you said the wrong thing among your circle of friends, so what they did is they would put on these masks and they could say things that they normally wouldn't do. So they would hide behind their masks to do these things and to say these things that were, you know, unlawful. They used it for a backdrop for pagan rituals, illegal activities, also unlawful financial dealings. That's how they would do it at some of these parties. For coups, also for sexual favors. They would also do it to also mingle among the lower class citizens. So otherwise they would be spurned among the elite if they were caught without their mask on, so they would invite them to these gatherings, and they could mingle among them, and there were also ulterior motives for doing that. You know, there aren't enough filters out there, how about the mask on the internet today? You know, the internet is an electronic anonymity. The internet allows people to say just about anything that they want. It could be any idiotic topic. It could be vulgar. It could be rude. And it is a form of a mask. The internet is a form of a mask, isn't it? You can hide behind that and say things and do things that other people won't know. So it allows you to spew all kind of nonsense and poisonous topics. And again, I wish I had a filter to filter out some of these things sometimes that I get on my internet from just stupid topics, but the fact is, everybody wears a mask. We all did during COVID, right? Everybody here wore a mask during COVID, just about everybody. But everybody does wear a mask ultimately, and we all hide behind that mask sometimes. I noticed one thing during COVID is people would have masks, and I even walked by somebody I knew really well in a store. I didn't even recognize them, and they said, "Hey, Mark," and I looked over. I didn't even know who it was, and they had to pull their masks down like that so I could see who they were. But it allows that anonymity, and it hides people's moods and emotions, so you can't really see what everyone's thinking. You know a little bit more when you see the rest of the face. I mean, you can't see right now, am I smiling? Or maybe you see my cheeks a little bit? Am I frowning? Am I sticking my tongue out at you? I mean, you don't know. So it's hiding that behind when you can't see that person's face. It's a great way to hide, is behind a mask. So with the mask off, you can see quite a bit more about the person through their facial expressions. So I have a question for everyone here today. What's hiding behind your mask? Some people put it on before they come to church. Some people put it on before they go to work, before they go to school. There's people even put it on before they see their spouse. You know, we never show our true selves all the time. I think I'm really glad that God gave us this ability to not read each other's thoughts. I don't think none of us would like anybody else very much, right? If we all were able to read each other's thoughts, I don't think anybody would like anybody. It would be really hard to be repentant, wouldn't it, if you read everybody's thoughts. But, you know, we need to make sure that our thoughts are pure. Let's turn to Philippians 4:8. We need to make sure that behind our mask that we're doing the right things. So there's a quality with being able to unmask, especially in this godless world. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate. Keep these in your mind on these things. These are things that need to be behind our mask as we're learning to unmask in our Christian walks, because we all still wear a mask. We're all still hiding from one degree or another. Galatians 5:22, and I'll just read it here. We all know these. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Kindness behind that mask. Not sticking our tongue out at others, right? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, these are the things that will help us remove the burden of wearing the mask. It'll take the place of hiding those sins. You know, after masking up for it was a little over a year. I mean, I definitely felt a freedom of doing that, of getting rid of that mask for a change. It was like, I would go into stores, and I would forget my mask in the car, and they would say, turn around. We're out of masks today. You got to go back and get a mask. You're not welcome in here. So I had to go back to my car and put the mask on. And then there was another time Lisa and I were in Florida with her sister and my brother-in-law. And we were in a restaurant down there, and we all had to wear our masks, and this was like at the peak of COVID, and we were sitting in the restaurant, and we had a mask to go out. We're all walking down the street. We had to park way down the street. We're all walking and talking with our masks on. We're sitting in the car all talking with the masks, and we all started to laugh because it was like, well, we still have our masks on. We don't have to have them on anymore. So, but we didn't even know. Well, my point is we didn't even know they were there anymore. So we can't get to the point where we don't know that we're hiding something behind our mask anymore. So we need to make sure that we're not hiding behind that mask. That's the point. We can't forget that we have a mask on, and we need to be taking that mask off from hiding those things. Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. That's my COVID scripture. None of us can hide behind a mask forever, because in the end, we don't need to expose our sins. But with that said, we don't need to expose our sins to everyone. We're to bring them to God. Now, there are times where we might go for professional help. If somebody has a habitual sin and they need help, there's times to go to professionals. Then you would share it with someone else. But when I say unmasking, I'm not saying expose it before everyone. Take that before God and confess to God and ask Him for His help. And I think we all know, especially in these times, that we need to draw closer to God as we see things happening. Our hidden sins and the masks that we wear are separating us from God. They're separating us. We need to get closer. We need to continue. When we continue to hide our sins, we'll never be that person that God wants us to be. We need to stop hiding those sins. We need to be that person that God wants us to be, to grow to be that person. We can't reach the potential that God has in mind for each of us unless we do start to remove those sins. You know, God has big plans for us. And we want to reach that, potential that God has for each and every one of us. You know, governments claim to be transparent, but our lives must be transparent. We're called to live our lives transparently and to be consistent and real, whether at church, whether at home or school, wherever it might be. If we're someone else behind the scenes, it's a false face. We're an actor, we're a fictitious character. We don't want to be that fictitious character. We'll all come before God someday, and that person will definitely be known. Luke 8:17 says, "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light." You know, this scripture is going to be scarier for some people than others. For sure. I mean, it depends upon how we're living our life. All your thoughts, all the things that you did in secret, those will be known, they'll be unmasked, and they will be revealed someday. I have another question for you today. Who were the masked men of Matthew? Who were the masked men of Matthew? Turn to Matthew 23. I'll give you a hint, they're not heroes. The masked men of Matthew. Matthew 23, starting in verse 1. "Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, greeting in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And Christ is telling them how to unmask. Humility endures the word of God, not saying one thing and living another way. That's how we unmask. Continue on in verse 13. "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." You know, woe is an exclamation of a warning or a judgment from God. Hypocrites comes from the work hypokrinome, meaning actor. So they were actors. They were just putting on an act in front of everybody. You know, actors wore masks in ancient times. So these hypocrites put on their masks. These were the masked men of Matthew. Reading on, "For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are eating to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, masked men, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, masked men." I added that in there. "For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." These masked men were laying heavy burdens on the converts that they wouldn't even take on themselves. The masked men of Matthew. "Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'Whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? Meaning Jesus Christ, the temple. And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and he and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, masked men of Matthew 23. For you pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone, blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. I can picture that. Do you want one hump or two with your camel? Okay. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, masked men of Matthew. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of extortion and self-indulgence. Does that remind you of any place today? Blind Pharisees, first clean the outside of the cup and dish, then the outside of them. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and the outside of them may also be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, masked men, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So Christ reveals what's under the masks. It's even more masks. Call them hypocrites again. And lawlessness. Verse 29. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, masked men, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if you had lived in the days of our fathers, you would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. But true to form of a hypocrite, they killed the one prophet who was our ultimate, our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Hypocrites, masked men of Matthew 23. You know, I'm surprised the Pharisees didn't suffocate under the many masks they wore. Jesus was clearly angry in this scripture. Those hypocrites had the look, didn't they? They had the look. They appeared to be all that and a bag of chips, but they were filthy, dirty, and dead on the inside. They extorted and they lived in luxury while watching others suffer in poverty, while they essentially stole from little old ladies. They took advantage of the weak of society. They imposed burdens and rules and unnecessary things that people didn't have to go through. And then ultimately, they were murderers. They wore the mask. They had the look, for sure. They wore the mask. You know, the whole world is trying to cover up. They want to mask their many sins and their atrocities. And today, there truly are many atrocities happening in this world. I know Denise sent the prayer request out today. The atrocities are happening in South Africa. There's many places where those are happening, and we need to pray for her family and all the people of the nation. We need to pray for our nation. Those things can happen here too. It can be pretty frightening sometimes what governments and individuals can do to each other, what humans do to other humans. You know, their vision of the future can be pretty scary because it's obscured by the prince of the power of the air. He's the great masquerader. You know, they can't recognize God or envision what great things that he has in store for all of them someday. But we can. You know, they can't recognize God's true people either because Satan has put that mask over their eyes. Let's make sure it's not because we're not doing the things that we need to do to unmask. Make sure that we are the people that we need to be and that we can unmask with that same person at church, at home, at work, at school. You know, the world yearns for the revealing of God's people. Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Masks off. They're waiting for us. Unmasking is good. And these people want to experience the freedom from sin and the hope that we're experiencing now, I hope. I hope we're experiencing that now. They don't even know they're enslaved. They need to learn to how to be free and to live God's way. When we live God's way, there's this great freedom that comes upon you. Christ takes on your burdens. You don't have to take them on. You'll have troubles in this life, but when you make the change, you stop hiding, He'll give you that freedom. He'll take those from you so you can keep on going. You know, we're to be the children of light, and that means that we must become recognizable people. We can't be hiding behind this mask, but it has to be the right person. It has to be the person that God has called you to be. You know, we're to be revealed to this world someday, and that was for a design purpose, and that was to help others. But we're to be doing that now, today. That's not just for tomorrow. We're to be doing that now. And lastly, the only covering that we ever really needed was the covering by Jesus Christ. He's our covering once and for all. But we have our part in this as well. You know, we need to hand Him our masks. Hand that over to Christ that we've been hiding behind. Hand it to Him. Humbly repent. We're to be making those changes. If we love Him, we'll keep His commandments, John 14:15. Jesus Christ generously and lovingly covered us. He covered the debt for us. He'll take our burdens, our sins, and problems that we once wore under our masks. He alone has the ability and has the right to cover those sins for us. Christ is the only one who can do that, and there is no other. Last scripture, Ephesians 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7. Ephesians 1, 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That's a full subject for another day. Jesus Christ has us covered. Time to unmask.